Valley Ministry. I think it'd be a good time to take an opportunity to just pray for each other a little bit. Maybe look around and see if there's someone maybe you haven't prayed for recently, or someone that maybe you don't know that well, and see if the Lord's leading you to be bold and courageous and go to that person and just be available. Be available. We'll just take a few minutes to do that here, and then we'll transition into the next part of the service.
So I find it quite interesting how Holy Spirit works, because no one knew I was going to make this announcement except Jody. And this goes along with what the Holy Spirit has already been showing us, and this is putting feet to what the Holy Spirit just shared with us. So I would like to, I'm going to read some scriptures out of 1 Corinthians 12. It says there are different gifts, kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Then in verse 12. You got 21. 12. I would like to read the whole chapter, but I won't. I'll spare you. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And then verse 21 through 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So that there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And then it goes on and gives a list, which is not a complete list, of all kinds of ways that we can serve the body. All of this has been given as a spiritual gift to all of us, which means you. In that list are interspersed the service gifts, the support gifts, the speaking gifts, and the sign gifts. So guess what? They're all important. They all matter, and they're all spiritual. All operate under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The quote that I just recently read was, "The quiet faithfulness of those of us that serve the body of Christ are the glue that holds the body together. You are the sinews and ligaments that make for a fluid motion of the body." So we notice it when our sound people or our visual people aren't there. We notice when the toilet paper's not filled up in the restroom or the trash cans aren't emptied. Okay? But do you notice it when they're full? So who here enjoys it when your body is moving smoothly or when your joints or muscles are aching? It's not much fun. We're having some aches in our body right now. How many of us think it's important to have teaching and instruction appropriate at age level? Okay? I say all that to say that the Ignite Kids Ministry needs you. Not just the Ignite, all of the ministries that serve this body need you. Our quarterly schedule is coming out next Sunday. And I have need for teachers and youth helpers, and particularly the three-year-olds through the six-year-old group. Also in the nursery workers. I am down to one full-time teacher in that age group. And that would be Kim Shaw, who has been faithfully serving year after year after year. And I want to honor you, Kim, for all the faithfulness that you have served. I can always count on you. I do have one temporary teacher. So, I'm asking just to serve at least only once a month, but that leaves me with a big gap. That means it leaves all of us with a big gap. So going back to 1 Corinthians 12:26, it says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. So this affects all of us. If we don't have the teachers and helpers to cover those Sundays, we won't be able to have children's church for that age group. Well, you say, I don't have any kids in there, so that's going to matter to me. Not my problem. Well, that means that those children will remain in the service for the whole time with us. So it will affect all of us. We all have gifts, again, given to us by the Holy Spirit for the benefit of the body and not just for ourselves. So my question to you is, are you using them to benefit our body, or are you selfishly withholding from us? This isn't just for the children's ministry either. This means for every ministry in this body. We all function the way God desires it to function. So I encourage you, read 1 Corinthians 12 and ask the Holy Spirit what gifts he's given you to benefit and make us a healthy body. So please come to me as soon as possible if you feel like God's calling you to enter the children's ministry and any other ministry in this body. So, thank you.
I just want to add to this. I just feel prompted by the Lord to add to this. Many years ago, my husband and I did a youth ministry in this house. How many of you were part of that ministry? Would you stand up? Thank you. I want you to take note of who these individuals are. They're leaders in this house. We did ministry on purpose 24/7. 24/7. Because the body of Christ is one generation away from dying. One generation. And you have the answer. Each of you has the answer. You can make a difference right here, right now. Because these young people, God has them. He wants them in an incubator. He wants to raise up the fivefold. He wants to create a kingdom, a portion of his kingdom right here in this house. But he can't do it without you. So I want to encourage you, this is a place for you to serve and become more like your King. And not only that, these young people then can become who they're supposed to be. And so one day they'll stand up and they will be the leaders of this house or somewhere else, but they will be leading. So in the name of Jesus, please, in the name of Jesus, put on your servant clothes, put on your humble garments, and come and serve these children. Amen.
And I want to add something to that too. When I was serving downstairs, it was a lot of fun. It's not like a sentence. It's a lot of fun. And it's really, for a guy like me, it's really special when I have some sort of relation with the younger generation, and they'll actually see me in the hallway outside of the classroom and say hi. And the one that's just really special is this one sitting right over here, Michael. Whenever he comes to church, he finds me and gives me a hug. And that's just really special. I can't tell you how much that means to me. And you'll build relationships like that also as you serve. The Lord will bless you in that. So we're going to let our speaker come up. And oh, we got to dismiss the kids too. Okay.
Morning. How's everyone doing? I just want to encourage you about what was just shared. We need you, but God needs you. I don't want to come across like any type of manipulation or like you're being compelled to do it except by the Spirit of God. I also want to like thank Christina and Wes and Ben and Dave and all those that are going to serve faithfully back there because they really need some help as well. And you can say, well, I don't know how to do that. You know, God can give you the ability, and it's not as scary as you think. And He wants to stretch us. He wants us to He wants us to do things that maybe make us uncomfortable a little bit. So I just encourage you, you know, ask yourself, where do you want me to serve, Lord? And jump wholehearted into it. I also wanted to give a pitch or a encouragement for the prophetic school. So we had that yesterday, and it was really excellent. It was a really good time. And just speaking from my own heart, I'd like to see a lot more men come. Men, you are more prophetic than you realize. When you declare it, especially with men, when you declare it, especially of your household, over your family, doors are open and there's breakthrough. So we had a time yesterday, and I'm going to share, this is not actually part of my message that I was going to speak, but I just want to share it, and I think it does incorporate into it. So Victoria actually shared about, she had a bunch of stuff up here for, like, what do you see? She had a helmet that Phil had made, and a sword, and oil, and crayons, and everything. It was like, okay, what is the Lord saying to those things? Well, the Lord pointed out the sword to me, and I know, like, Ethan, it pointed out to Ethan, the sword, what it meant to him. And I heard the Lord say, hold on to the hilt of the sword. Do you know what the hilt is? That's the handle part. And I heard him say, use my sword to strike down the enemy of my spirit, of your spirit. I will teach you how to use my sword, my word, the sword of the spirit. And I thought it was funny. It was, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Zorro. I was telling Victoria this. When he first is learning how to be Zorro, he says, oh, you grab, he's like, he asked him, basically asked him how to use the sword, and he's like, the pointy end goes into the other guy. And that's typically what it is. But the other thing I saw was actually, I saw the sword coming out of my mouth. And I heard the word, the sword divides the spirit and the soul. And I'm going to read in Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So I believe that's my heart today, is the word of God penetrates your heart and it divides your soul and spirit. And then I heard him say this morning, hold still. You ever been if you've been to the emergency room or something like that, and they're like, hold still because we're doing this procedure and it will hurt if you move? That's what I was in the references. It's just like, hold still because when you move, you know, he hits sharp and he'll cut. And he wants to divide it and be like, oh no, this is my spirit and this is your soul. So that is my hope, is that this morning, and I'm just going to pray and open for that his word would divide soul and spirit. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for what you're doing and how you're moving. Father, I just ask that you would just use my mouth. Lord, I would only say the things you want me to say, Lord, and that there would be just your Father's love, as Ben was talking about, the love of the Father would just pour out right now, and you would speak to us about how loving and good you are. We just pray that things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I've actually had this scripture in my heart for about a month and a half now, 2 months. And I don't read a lot of Jeremiah. but they call it the symbol of the linen sash. So I'm going to go ahead and read it in the New King James Version first. In it's 11 verses. Verse 1, it says, "Thus the Lord said to me, go and get yourself a linen sash and put it around your waist, but do not put it in water. So I got a sash according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. And the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, take the sash that you acquired, which is around your waist, and arise and go to Euphrates and hide it there in a hole in a rock. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. Now it came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates, and take from there the sash which I command you to hide there. Thus I went to the Euphrates and dug, and I took the sash from the place where I had hidden it, and there was a sash ruined. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. The evil people who refuse to hear my words and follow the dictates of their and who follow the dictates of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them shall be like this sash, which is profitable for nothing. For as a sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, for glory, but they would not hear me. But they would not hear. I'm not going to read it in the New Living. I think I'm running out of time. Can you put that map up? I want to speak first. This is kind of a rabbit trail a little bit. Jeremiah got a word from the Lord, and it was first he had to buy the sash or get the sash and put it around his waist, and then he waited, and then the Lord told him, go to the Euphrates. Now this is not for sure like where he went. So just understand that. But I want you to understand the gravity or the like how much this took to do this prophetic word. So it's a linen sash that he told him to get, put around his waist, don't wash it. That's why I said don't put it in water. I meant don't clean it. And then go to the Euphrates. If this is accurate, so how many people know where Beaver Creek is? You know where Beaver Creek is? It's just across the Alcan border up by Toke. So if I told Sean, take the sash and start walking towards Beaver Creek, that's about 400 miles. But anyway, how long do you think it would take him to get to Beaver Creek? Walking. Well, you know, an average person, they say, can walk, an average hiker can walk 25 miles. That'd be 16 days of travel. You can do that. One thing I want to talk about with the prophetic is we hear a word from the Lord, but then we don't seek another word and another word, just like Jeremiah did. It amazes me that what it took to fulfill the command of the Lord. And the commitment it took to do what he said to do. So I was asking myself, why a linen sash? So linen actually is, it's actually one of the most ancient fabrics. It's one of the oldest known fabrics. And it has a lot of properties about it. It's both water resistant, but yet it actually can absorb water as well. It has natural microbial properties. So linen contains natural antimicrobial compounds that inhibits the growth of mildew, mold, and make it an excellent choice for humid climates. It's breathable, it's easy to maintain, and storing it says to keep it in a well-ventilated area, avoid damp, dark spaces, and prevent mildew growth. This scripture basically is telling me, you can read the judgments of God in it, but I don't feel like that's what Jeremiah is really talking about. To me, it speaks to me is God from the beginning of time has wanted intimacy with us. And what kills our intimacy is pride. I kept hearing the Lord say, pride is killing the church. Pride will kill. It will kill you. It will kill relationship. It will kill intimacy. And it will stop you from knowing God and being known by God. And it will ruin your hearing. I got a little story, and it's a very simple story, but it was a very powerful time for me that God used something very little, and when you think about it, it was very little, but I still can remember to this day. So, my blue Dodge pickup out there, if you look on the front fender, there's a big dent, and it reminds me every time I get into it to listen to the Lord. So I was going up, and it was winter time. I was going on the hillside in Anchorage, and it was winter, and the road went uphill, but the driveway went downhill. So it was down in there, and it just pretty steep driveway went down and then flattened out. So I was driving up there, and as soon as I got top of the road, the driveway, I heard the Lord say, "Don't go down there." And I'm like, I got four-wheel drive. So I went down there and did my stuff, went to go get out, and I spent over an hour trying to get out of that driveway. Forwards, backwards, sideways. I mean, I tried everything, and it got to the point where I was really getting frustrated, and I was like, Lord, why aren't you saving me? What, you know, I was literally crying out to the Lord, I ended up getting up to the top of the driveway, and right at the last second, my friend went over and hit a tree. Then I was like, oh, great, how am I going to get out of this tree? I ended up doing it. I ended up getting out of it, but I was so disgusted with myself at the end. And the funny thing was, it wasn't Lord beating me up. It was me, myself, beating myself up because he didn't listen to the Lord. And I was like, my own pride was like, well, I got a pickup. I can do this by myself kind of thing. I can get out. But how often do we do that in our own lives? How often do we, the definition of pride, I had it written down here somewhere, I think. The feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements and achievements of those of whom one is closely associated with, or from the qualities of possession that are. Number two is consciousness of one's own dignity. I'm gonna tell on myself again. Rachel had a word for me this morning about being in the fire, but being steadfast. And I feel like me and Eileen are going through a time of fire right now. And just some difficult things going through our life. And we got into a discussion. And basically, and it was basically, she told me, and it hurt, that I wasn't meeting her needs. And I was like, but I'm doing all of this and that, and I in my mind, I was right. And for a little bit there, my own pride kept me from thinking. I knew this was like, this was a testing point of our relationship. And I just knew God was like, just listen to her. Eileen, I hear you. We made up. We forgave each other. We always do. But how often do we do this in our own relationships? The pride that is, I want to be right. It's my own dignity. It's my own thing. And you guys are quiet. Processing. So I actually felt like the Lord wanted us to do something in the middle of this. And then we'll go to part two. But I feel like we need to actually do this more often is respond to the Lord when he's speaking. I know what the Lord wants. He wants us to cling to him. And it's for his glory and his honor. And so all the things that we're talking about today is putting ourselves low so he can be exalted. But he also, when you do that, he exalts us as well. I just wonder, I was thinking about this morning was, I watched some of these videos about people getting pulled over and the responses of people that get pulled over. And the funniest ones, I think, is the ones that are the young people that get pulled over that their parents or their daddy or mommy has lots of authority. And that's what they say. Do you know who my daddy is? But I wonder, sometimes I'm thinking, how often does the world perceive us that way? Well, I'm God's son. I'm that's my daddy. And it's never, that authority, that power is never to be used against each other. Because you really, if I was talking to a police officer, well, do you know who my dad is? My God's the Father in heaven. If I talk to a police officer like that, I have to realize I'm talking to another son, whether he's saved or not. So I'm going to, if you would just stand with me, and we're going to just pray. I'll lead us in a prayer of repentance for our pride. Father, forgive us. Forgive us where we have put ourselves first. Lord, we just put you first in our lives. You are the Savior of our soul and our spirit, Lord. You are the only giver of life. Lord, we just repent for all the places where our own dignity is greater than yours. Lord, we will be undignified for the sake of the kingdom. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come right now and just to not only convict, but to comfort. Lord, as we repent, Lord, we ask you to change the way we even think. We submit ourselves to you. You are our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name. You can be seated. So, Saturday morning, I woke up to the Lord telling me, he heard the words, Lord say, knowledge is power. And he started speaking to me about that. So how many people know who actually coined that phrase, or anybody? Sir Francis Bacon. Everything's better with bacon. He was actually, I did a little research on him. He was an angelic Christian, but he was like a natural science person. He liked to, I don't know a lot about him, but he's the one who actually coined the phrase knowledge is power, but it's actually become a pretty cliche thing. And then I actually found this other one. Go to the next slide. Knowledge isn't power. Applied knowledge is power. That's actually from Eric Thomas, is a pastor and a motivational speaker. But what I was hearing from the Lord is all the knowledge in the world is nothing without the knowledge of Him. Go ahead and throw up the PowerPoint there. Knowing Jesus and being known by Jesus is power. I think the biggest thing why the church is not operating in the power it's supposed to be is because we don't know Him in the way we should know Him, and we're not known by Him like we need to be. If we know who we are in the Lord, I believe we'll walk in all of the manifestations, the miracles, the Holy Spirit, and all of that. And this could be where pride kicks in. Well, I know God. I've been serving God for how many ever years since I've been alive, I guess. You can say all that, but I mean, like, I'm like, there's so much to know about God. And I'm like, I'm thinking about this as, you know, like my son Corey, he's going to go out in the street. And he said the other day, he's like, well, I've never led anybody to the Lord. And to be honest, Corey, I don't know if I have, like, led somebody in the sinner's prayer. I've pointed to God, but I'm like, his evangelistic heart is such an encouragement to me because I know that's where I lack. We need the whole body. But you don't want to limit yourself to, well, I'm an apostle, I'm an evangelist, and everything. God wants to use you in every aspect of that, in one fashion or another. So don't limit yourself to, I like those gift tests and stuff like that, and know who you are, And I know there's some people that don't like them because it's like, well, they don't want to be put in a box. God doesn't want to put you in a box. Is God in a box? He's not. So how can you be in a box? He doesn't want you to be in a box. It's like, well, you know, I'm labeled this. As some, you know, sometimes we operate more in a certain gift than others, but I still believe we should always be growing and growing in the knowledge of Him and who He wants us to be. Go to the next one. Knowledge of who you are in Christ and what He wants to do through you will lead to power. Go to the next one. I kind of cut over that one. Head knowledge leads to pride. Heart knowledge leads to power. Zach has been talking a lot about getting out of here and getting into here. I purposely didn't write a bunch of like stuff that I wanted to write down. This is basically my notes because I felt like God was saying, I don't want you to operate out of your head. Because I feel like I'm pretty good. I mean, I can do pretty good about writing things out. But I wanted to speak from His heart, not my own head or my own knowledge. In 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3, I'm going to read it both out of the New King James and out of the Passion Translation. She's pretty good up. She has to go back and forth between PowerPoint. First one says, now concerning these things, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by Him. That should be our heart. We don't want to be known by Him. Throw it up in the Passion, please. It's coming. Christine's awesome. I'll just read it. How about that? That way you don't have to do anything. It says, it's titled, Love is Greater Than Knowledge. Now let me address the issue of food offering and sacrifice to idols. It seems that everyone believes in his own opinion is right on this matter. How easily we get puffed up over our own opinions. But love builds up the new structure of our new life. If anyone thinks of himself as a know-it-all, he still has a lot to learn. But if a person passionately loves God, he will possess the knowledge of God. Love, if you want to go back to the PowerPoint, love is always greater than knowledge. There you go. And now I'm going to ask you to switch back to the... All because I wanted the little things to go up, and the pro presenter can do it. In John 8:32, in the Passion, it says, "For if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into our lives." And I wrote, "Knowledge of Him brings freedom." Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. And when you know Him, you have freedom. I just wondered what the church would look like, what I would look like, if I really embraced the whole truth of Christ, and put down my pride. it would look for you guys. I think this place would be even more wilder than it is. We all have busy lives. And I find that an excuse for me. I'm busy with a lot of things. I mean, this week was pretty tough for me. I worked, you know, my 40 hours at work, and I did whatever, another 10, 15 hours for my business, and then things around here and other things, you know, it's very busy, but the Lord wants me to spend time with Him. He wants you to spend time with Him, no matter how busy your day is. You could be busy doing all of, actually, there's ministers, pastors, apostles that are doing things for the Lord, and they get so busy doing ministry that they actually don't even spend time with the Lord. And I don't want to be one of those people. And you doing your job might be the ministry that the Lord has you doing. You may be in the work. You may be doing, I don't know what whatever you do, that's where the Lord has you. And you're supposed to be a minister of the Lord. Psalms 51:6. I really love this verse. It says, I know you delight to set your truth deep in my spirit. This is the Lord speaking to us. So come into the hidden places of my heart and teach me wisdom. I have a couple other verses, but I'm going to skip them. I don't feel like I need to read those. I've been going the last couple years. I've been asking myself, well, who do I pray to? Do I pray to God the Father, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit? And the answer is, yes. And He's teaching me to have time with each person of the Godhead, to be intimate with each person of the Godhead, because He's one. If you're talking to the Holy Spirit, you're talking to the Father, and you're talking to Jesus. If you talk to Jesus, you're talking to the Father, and you're talking to the Holy Spirit. You're talking to all of them. If you're talking to the Father, you're talking to everyone, you know. That's, they are so interconnected, they know everything. And I'm asking myself, so when David was here, David McDonald was here, he met with us, some of us, and, you know, he was encouraging us to spend intimate time with Him, with Jesus, you know, with our Lord, every day. And I asked him, I said, well, what does that look like for you? What, you know, he explained it, what he does. And the temptation there is to do exactly what he does. And I actually went home and I actually did some of the things he was saying, and it was really great. I actually saw fruit from it, and I gleaned it, but your relationship, your personal relationship, is going to look different than any other person. You want to talk to somebody about what intimacy looks like? Talk to John. He knows what, you know, he talks about the secret place a lot. It's in his heart because he's seen the fruit of what the secret place looks like. Now, John's secret place may look different than Audia's secret place. And, it, you know, sometimes you're going to have to, like, figure out how to carve it out in the day to where... Trying to figure out how to exactly say this. I don't even like to say carve it out from the day. It's life. If you don't have it, you don't have life. It's like sticking that linen in the rock, in the crevice of the rock, and leaving it a damp. It's that symbol of your relationship with the Lord is going to rot. It needs his light. It needs to be washed in the Word. It needs to be cleaned. So I found this article. I don't know if you who you know is Jeremy Nelson. He's actually part of Harvest International Ministry, which we're part of that network of churches. Zach actually has a relationship with him. But he wrote an article about how do I spend time with God? And the last thing they always put at the end of their things is keep it simple. Because I feel like we make it more complicated than it needs to be. The article says, you hear us constantly reminding you to spend time with Jesus and develop your intimacy with him. Here's how. I want to share with you four practical ways to spend time with God. Number one, meditate on God's Word. Just like you, I need to eat food to stay alive. We need to read the Bible to keep your spirit alive and connected to Jesus. Get your meals in, not just once. Read the Word throughout the day. Read it on your break at work, at home, at lunch, right before you sleep, when you wake up. The Bible reveals the promises of God. It reveals to us our inheritance. If we're not in His Word, we are limited. God wants us to live in intimacy with Him and move in the power of God. He wants us to live from the place where heaven invades earth. We will never truly step into the anointing unless we learn how to study the Word of God. Meditation brings revelation, and revelation brings manifestations. If you want to work in miracles, read all about the miracles in the Bible. Study Revelations 4 and 5. If you want to see in the Spirit, read Daniel 7, Ezekiel 1, and all the places in the Bible where you see the throne room of heaven. Discover how the Word describes these beautiful places. As you begin to study and meditate on those things, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal those things to you as you spend time with Him. He will even give you revelation of the places as you dream. Number two, intimacy with Jesus. Did you know you can spend time with each one of the Godhead? God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all one in the Trinity, and we have the privilege to honor and develop intimacy with each of them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. John 10:9. Jesus is the door. He gives us access to encounter the Father. I spend time with Jesus all the time. When I read about Jesus in the Bible, I begin to learn who He is. I'm getting to the place where when I can discern when Jesus shows up in the meetings where I preach or when I'm praying at home, because I'm constantly learning how He is in the Word of God. Jesus is closer than a brother, and at the same time, Jesus is our King. We can't become familiar with Him as our buddy. And Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When Jesus shows up, I've learned that the majesty of Christ is present. The fear of the Lord comes into the room. We need to learn how to give Jesus his rightful place and worship him. When's the last time you were face down in your living room giving Jesus the first place? The throne in every area of your life. Holy moments happen when Jesus is present. I had to ask myself, when's the last time I was on the floor in my house? sit in my chair and pray, but when's the last time I actually laid before the Lord in my own intimate time? When's the last time you've done that? It's not about feeling condemned about it or even convicted. He wants to be with us. He wants you to be with him. Number three, intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you can talk to the Spirit of God? Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and the Son. They are all three, but they are one. The Father is in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. He's the one who reveals the Word to us. He's more than goosebumps and tickles. Holy Spirit is a person, and he wants to be with you. We need to develop quiet time with him where we wait. Develop Isaiah 50 verse 4 and develop intimacy with the Holy Spirit. The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ears, my ear to listen as a disciple. God wants us to become sensitive to his presence. Make time for the Holy Spirit. You will notice that more time you give to him to speak, the more he begins to manifest. I like that one where it says that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. There's many of us in here that are weary, and they need that one word from the Lord, and you have that word to give them. But you need to spend the time with the Holy Spirit to actually give that word. Number four, intimacy with God the Father. The Father wants to love you as his son and daughter. Did you know that he loves to give you good gifts? Many times, this is what Ben was actually talking about, many times when he is saying, Jeremy, I love you, put your name there, I love you, I'm proud of you, I begin to melt and recognize the Father's love. God wants you to experience his love and his kindness. The Father also comes at times to bring correction so that we can mature as a son. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all of you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Hebrews 12:7-8. If the only thing that you hear from God is the stuff you want to hear, you're probably not hearing the fullness of the Father. The more you spend time with him, the more you will recognize his heart for you. And then keep it simple. Jump in the Word throughout the day and make time for the King of Kings today. I pray that you'll be blessed to discern Jesus, Holy Spirit, and the Father God all throughout your days. Laura Lee gave me a word this morning about, do you remember sitting on your dad's lap when you were a kid? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And she asked me, was it a good memory? And I was like, of course it was a good memory. But then I just realized, when he's disciplined, was it a good memory? I think one of my greatest fears in life is that I would be an illegitimate son. Meaning, he wouldn't even bother to discipline me. How would that feel? That just no one cares. Just do what you want to do. You're going to do whatever you want to do. He cares enough for you all, for all of us, that he disciplines us. That's true love. Not just we get all the goosebumps and the, oh, God, the Father loves me. He loves you by his discipline. To say, no, don't do that. No, don't drive down that driveway. He didn't, you know, he doesn't beat you up over it. He has grace. He doesn't want to see you in ruin. So back to pride. Kill your pride. End the rebellion with it. How many people are enjoying the Live Unoffendable book? Oh man, now it's like going that. You see now wherever you are offended, it's like, why? So just a reminder, tomorrow will be session 3 that's going to be released of our table talks. So I encourage you to get on Facebook or the YouTube link that will get emailed to you and get on there and listen. Part of that book, that, you know, what she talks about, one of those is pride that she talks about. And, you know, it's one of the things that you know that you're offended. This may offend some, and I'm not doing it to offend, but one thing I've been struggling with is the perception that the United States of America is our savior. I love the place we live. I love being in the United States. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. But the United States of America is not our savior. And there is a huge temptation right now, because of who's in office, to back off. Oh, we got somebody in there who kind of agrees with us. Whoever, and I believe God has our president in there for a reason, but he's not our savior. He's an instrument. And I'm not trying to get into politics, but there's a lot of people that what's going on right now is affecting their lives deeply. There is a lot of unsurety. But God has us in his hands. And this is now the time to cling to the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord. And obey. Let's all stand. Okay, get in receiving mode. Father, I just declare you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Jesus, you are the King of Kings. Lord, and we just receive right now, Lord. Lord, I would pray, Lord, that any word that was not of you will just fall to the ground. But anything that's of you, by your Spirit, Lord, will just lead us into deep relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that you would just give us the perseverance and just even that deep love, that love that we will get into your word every day, throughout the day, that we'd be meditating it, that we'd be thinking about it. Lord, even just use the instruments that we have now, even our phone, Lord, that we would put down the reels and the TikTok, and we would actually read what you have to say. Lord, we ask for forgiveness for where we have just let the world even numb our mind. I just pray for just an awakening of our mind and our heart and our soul and our spirit, and just everything would line up with your Holy Spirit. We pray for complete alignment. And we just speak that in the name of Jesus. morning I had a picture of a blank screen, of a screen that had a black with a prompt on it. It was just a black screen, you know, the little thing that has in it, like the upper hand corner. It's just the prompt, and it was waiting for the command. And I was hearing the Lord saying, the command of the Lord is coming. We need to empty ourselves and be full of Him. So we just ask you right now, Lord, we just empty ourselves, and we ask your Holy Spirit to fill us to full and brimming over, flowing over. We just pray that you would use us to change this world and to bring your kingdom. So we just pray your kingdom come, your will be done. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you for coming. We will see you next time.